It is to get together with God's people. Your presence this morning certainly gives praise to God, and those of us here at the Henderson Church appreciate so much those of you that are visiting with us today. I know that many of the students and their parents are here, friends of students are here. I want to assure you, at least from my standpoint, that I believe that the university is trying to hold to the truth of God's word and teach it to all the students. And I know the leadership of this congregation and their desire to hold to the book. And I am so appreciative to be able to say both of those facts. It is our desire here at Henderson to reach out to the Fried-Hardeman student body and staff and try to provide a home here for those who can be with us, and to encourage every one of them to be faithfully involved in serving God in one of the area congregations. We certainly desire to have as many as possible here, but our greatest desire is to encourage all the students to be faithful to God in serving Him on a regular basis. It has been our tradition for several years to use the theme of homecoming as our subject for the Sunday morning lesson here. Some years have been easier than others, and the one this year is one of the easier ones. We belong together. When you leave this service this morning, if you can remember those three words and understand them from a scriptural standpoint and from a practical standpoint, the lesson will have been successful. As Brother Sewell read, you may have noticed that in the last verse he read, it emphasized the individual member of the body of Christ. But in the two preceding verses, especially in the last part of verse 25, emphasis was placed on the idea that we are members one of another. That's the togetherness that is emphasized in God's word. And that is the togetherness that is so needed today. It is true that God looks at each one of us as an individual. And on that great judgment day about which we've been singing, each one of us will stand face to face with God. He will not judge me by what you have done, nor you by what I have accomplished or failed to accomplish in life. He will look at each one of us as individuals. But having said that, it is important for us to also understand that in heaven we will be a group of God's people. And here on earth, we need to learn how important it is to emphasize the group idea. The first word I want you to think about this morning is this word, we. It's so easy to talk about I do this, I have done that, I want this. But it is more important to think about the we concept in life itself. A few times back through the years, I've been called by the local funeral home where I was living to conduct a funeral service for someone that I did not know. Someone who had no family, had no church, and had no friends. I don't know that I have ever been at a sadder occasion than that. Oh, we have some sad times now. We have some difficult situations. We have some folks in our congregation that are extremely sick. Almost on a regular basis, we deal with sickness, death, and problems. But folks, we have something that some people don't have. We have that we concept. And I can tell you by experience that the person who doesn't have that is lacking something that's worth more than all the money in the world, all the possessions that a person could have. We is a little word that's so important. In the first part of the outline, if you are using this morning, by those three scriptures, write these three words: family, church, church friends. God emphasized there in the very second chapter of the book of Genesis that it was not good for man to be alone. The problem with Adam, though Adam had, remember, access to all that God had created, all the animals, all the plants, everything that God had created, he still was lonely. And God looked at it, and the only time in all the 6 days of his creation that he said anything was not good, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. Even you boys and girls know the story of how God brought Eve into existence and gave her to Adam, and they became husband and wife. God performed the first marriage ceremony, in a sense, and brought about that first family unit. From that time on, problems existed. In the Garden of Eden, outside the Garden of Eden. But from that time on, there was the idea of a family. And a person did not have to be alone, but had someone with whom to share the good times and the bad times in life. I think most of us do not realize the impact of that statement that we make in our vows, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in good times and in bad times. Maybe we do not even realize for many years, and even then only to a degree, how important it is to have someone with whom to share. I just cannot imagine going into the house back here without Judy being there. I just cannot imagine not having a family. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But I certainly do not know what I would do without them. Then there is the church. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It only takes two or three people to make a congregation of God's people. And there have been a few times when I worshiped when there were not many more than that. In fact, while I was in my second year here at Fried Hardeman, I preached out at Roby before they built their present building. Our attendance ranged between 13 and 21 during that year that I preached there. And I have preached several times when there were fewer than 13 present. I preached one time in Atlantic City, New Jersey, attending a conference there dealing with my schoolwork when I was a sophomore and then a junior, sophomore here and then a junior at Tennessee Tech. I realized there was not a congregation there. And I took fruit of the vine and bread, and we met in my hotel room that morning. I believe there were seven of us present. And I had an opportunity to preach in Atlantic City, New Jersey. There was a girl from Arkansas. There was a girl from New Mexico. There was a young man from another western state. There was one from down in, I believe, Alabama or Georgia on that occasion. And we met in a hotel room and worshiped God. And there was something there that you just didn't get with all the other thousands that were present for that convention. Folks, there's something about the church that emphasizes that we idea. And most of the time, we may very well take it for granted. What would we do without friends? I like what Brother Marshall Keeple used to say. He said, I'd rather have friends than money if my friends have money. Well, I think friends, even without money, are extremely important. There's a verse back in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I just cannot imagine meeting the problems of life without friends, without the church, and without my family. We. But notice the second word, belong. We belong. To belong to someone is so important. To feel that we are needed. Oh, we've got the thing turned around most of the time. We think what we need is for somebody to do something for us, when in reality what we need is to be able to do something for somebody, to be needed. I read a story one time of a man who had no family probably no friends, but he had a dog that was faithful to him. And it was determined that probably the reason that man continued to live and go on was because he believed his dog needed him. He believed he belonged to it and it belonged to him. It is important to belong and to be able to feel that we belong to somebody. In Mark the 9th chapter and verse 41, there's a little statement included, "Ye belong to Christ." I'm his. I live in him and he lives in me, Galatians 2:20. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, after there's a discussion of worldly things, and Paul says you need to come out from these and be ye separate, and if you do, God says, I'll be your father, and you will be to me sons and daughters. I'm always proud, and I use that word knowing what I'm using. I'm always proud to tell people, especially in my home area, that I'm the son of my dad and mother, that I belong to them. And I believe they've been proud to say that I belong to them. And I'm glad and I'm thankful to be able to say that I belong to the church. I belong to Christ. I belong to God. Fellowship with one another is emphasized in 1 John 1 and verse 7, but the real important point is about four verses earlier, where it says we have fellowship with God and with Christ. And our fellowship problem that we sometimes have with one another is solved when we understand what it means to have fellowship with God and with Christ. Because it just necessarily follows if we belong to God and we belong to Christ, we ought to belong to each other. There in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, talking about Christ who died for us that we should live with him. Don't you want to belong to Christ and to God when that day of judgment comes? Don't you want to have Christ say as he confesses us before the Father, I know him, he belongs to me. What a terrible thing it would be to have those words of Matthew 7 said, depart from me, I don't know you. In fact, I never knew you. You don't belong to me. 1 Corinthians 1:10, in talking about the unity that is to be there and the condemnation of division, he says you need to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Walk in the same ways. Be the oneness in the body of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that that's exactly the idea for which Jesus prayed in that beautiful prayer of John 17. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may know that thou didst send me. And there in 1 Corinthians 3:9, he says, we are laborers together with God. And in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we are workers together. Some versions say with God, and some just emphasize the idea we're workers together. We belong. We're a part of something. It is important to feel needed. And notice in Romans 12, verses 4 through 5, that he says that we are many members in one body and all members have not the same office. So we being many are members one of another, are members of that one body and members one of another. We belong to each other. And that emphasizes the third word, and that's that word together. I'm not for sure that you'll find the word togetherness in the dictionary, but I like it. We belong together. That's that oneness for which Jesus prayed. And remember the seven ones? There is one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Seven ones. That's togetherness, folks. And that's the oneness that God wants in the church. That often quoted passage of Hebrews 10:25 may be quoted without us understanding and really looking at something that's said there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Together. As the manner of some is. Oh, I can sit down at home and read from God's word and sing and pray and I can worship God as an individual. But I cannot find in that worship as an individual what I find when we are assembled together. God knew what he was talking about when he encouraged us to assemble together. And you and I do not know what we're really doing when we forsake those assemblies. I've been preaching for several years, and I still do not understand how any true Christian can willfully forsake any opportunity to be together, any reasonable opportunity to be together with God's people to worship God. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I have long believed that Hebrews 10:25 is not really a verse that exhorts us to assemble, but exhorts us to assemble, to exhort and encourage one another. Perhaps the exhortation to assemble is there, but really it's the exhortation to be there, to exhort and to encourage one another. Ephesians 2:21 says we are framed together. Ephesians 4:16 says we are joined together. That verse goes ahead and says we are joined together where every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There are the individuals we were talking about. But he says we're joined together, and in doing that, the body increases and edifies itself in love. Quantity growth and quality growth when we are really together. And talking about this togetherness, did you notice in that beloved verse of Acts 20 and verse 7 that he says when you come together around the Lord's table? On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Yes, it is true that each man is to examine himself. When we observe the Lord's Supper, each one of us was to examine himself and worship God. But even having said that, there is that togetherness that is emphasized in Acts 20 and verse 7. In Colossians 2 and verse 2, he says we are to be knit together in love. Love is not worth as much if it goes only in one direction. If God loves us and we don't love him, there's a problem. If by imagination we could love God and he didn't love us back, there would be a problem. And if we do not have love going in both directions, the husband-wife relationship will not work. The parent-child relationship will have a problem. And most of our problems in the church, at least, are related to the idea that there's not the mutual love going in every direction that there ought to be. We are knit together in love. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, he says we are to comfort one another. We are to comfort together, and we are to edify one another. Comfort and edify. Just think about the times that have been most difficult in your life. If you had not had friends and family and the church there to be with you, what would it have been like? Think about the times when you've been somewhat depressed or disappointed or down in life. If there had not been somebody in your family or church or among your friends to lift you up and say, come on, let's go, where would you be today? And I purposely put this scripture at the last on this point, Romans 15:30, strive together in prayer. The power of group prayer, the power of praying one for another, being together and praying to God, is greater than any of us can really explain. We've not even begun to touch the hem of the garment of how powerful prayer is when it's prayer together. We, a group, belong, a part of it, together, that oneness and that unity. I think it is summed up perhaps as well as anywhere in two verses in Proverbs that talk about friends. And these principles certainly apply to the family and to the church. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Show yourself friendly. If a man hath friends, he must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17 and 18:24. Folks, we belong together. Do you belong to God this morning? Have you ever become a part of His family? If not, you need to confess His name this morning, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins as a penitent believer. Have you been a part of His family, but you've gone away to where you don't really believe and think of yourself as belonging? Come home. Prodigal son shows you can. The Father wants you to. And if you're not involved in a local work, you need to be together with God's people. You need to be involved and together as a part of the people of God. We belong together in Christ. If you're not there, come as together we stand and sing.